This is Morning Edition on KACU. I'm Heather Claiborne. Democrat Sam Hatton is taking a second shot at unseating Republican State Representative Stan Lambert. Hatton jumped into the race in 2018 and is on the ballot again for the 71st district seat. His campaign website highlights three issues that he sees as key to creating a, quote, competitive, compassionate Texas: public education, roads and infrastructure, and rural health care. Sam Hatton joins me by Zoom. Thanks for taking the time.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So you've focused your campaign on listening to people. I'm curious about what you're hearing from voters in the district and whether you're hearing different things from places like Stamford or Sweetwater or Roscoe compared to what people have to say in Abilene.
So things have been different this time around, for sure, to say the least. We're trying to make sure that we can still listen to people, but to ensure their safety. One of the things that we're hearing generally is that people are unsure. They don't know what is going to happen next week, next month, or next year. And that lack of understanding is really driving a lot of the negative feelings, the bad stuff that's happening lately. It's my hope that after this election, we can come together and really try and do the work for people. Well, I mean, if I'm being perfectly honest, it's my hope that we have a Democratic leadership so that we can provide real guidance to the cities, not only in this district, but all over Texas, as to what can be done going forward so that people have some assurance about what their lives are going to look like in the future.
I'm hearing you say you're hoping that the House will flip to the Democrats. Either way, you guys will have to deal with a number of issues that have been brought up by the reality of COVID-19. Before the pandemic even was underway, Governor Abbott had asked the state agencies to trim their budgets by 5%. And now there's, you know, even more pressure on revenue and spending. And so I guess I'm curious as to whether you're concerned about education, which is one of your key issues. And what do you think the state legislature should be focused on in the next session regarding education?
Well, yeah, I'm terrified for our teachers. Our legislature made a promise to them last session that, quite honestly, they're not going to be able to keep. We are not going to have the revenue to run the state of Texas going forward, and we can't cut our way out of it. You know, Texas has this reputation for being the line is a business-friendly state. What that really means is that we sacrifice poor and middle-class people so that we can have billion-dollar businesses come to the state, not really provide any benefit to anyone but other multimillionaires and billionaires, and leave everybody else in the lurch. We could actually fix a lot of these issues if we would just focus on things like the oil and gas exploration tax, the franchise tax, and the real estate loophole that allows billionaires to buy buildings in downtown Houston and then sue the local authorities for lower tax bills. I can't do that with my small home, and I don't know anybody else who can. We have to make things more fair if we're going to fulfill these obligations that we've made to not only our teachers, but police officers and state workers going forward.
So one of the other issues that you're really focused on is rural health care. Knowing that this pandemic has put a lot of pressure on medical providers and even more for rural areas that are already struggling, do you have ideas about how to best merge that gap or bridge that gap so that people who live far away from major cities or hospitals can get the healthcare they need?
One of the things that I've been harping on over and over and over for it seems like the last 10 years is the fact that Texas has a giant pool of medical money that's available to it that that our governor just says, no, we don't need that. It wouldn't cost the state of Texas a penny to increase the to increase the Affordable Care Act Medicare expansion, or Medicaid expansion, excuse me. And that would cover millions and millions and millions of Texans, not just in the rural areas, but in the cities too. And yet we refuse to do it, quite simply because it benefits poor people.
Well, let's talk about the handling of COVID-19. Do you think that the situation has revealed any issues that the State House needs to address in the upcoming session?
I mean, quite a bit, but I think the biggest issue that we have right now as far as COVID-19 goes is the fact that we have a governor who has gone back and forth and back and forth, and we've had everything from hospitals to local school districts who didn't know which way to jump. And they've done an amazing job, given the fact that there has been no state leadership on this issue. And even, you know, I know it's not exactly the same issue, but even when it comes down to voting, the governor has gone back and forth on whether or not we can have polling locations. You know, he expanded early voting, but then said, you know, Houston only needs to have one early ballot drop-off location. He was sued. They said that we could have more. His party countersued. They said, well, no, that's okay. But people, like I said earlier, people need assurances that, you know, their lives are going to be somewhat normal in the near future. And wild swings in policy like this doesn't really serve anybody. I know that he thinks he's serving Republicans and serving his own party, but it doesn't really serve anyone going forward. And it certainly doesn't make things better for anyone.
Are you confident in the security of the election? There's been a lot of talk about the back and forth, but do you have confidence that Texans' votes will be counted?
I have hope that they will. Democrats are used to having to win well over the majority in order to win. And that's what our goal is right now, quite frankly. But the fact that you even have to ask that question is pretty sad. One of the things that I've been talking about in the last few weeks, it's not necessarily been updated on my website, is that part of this idea of having a stable state and a stable country means that we have to have stable elections and we need to have stable representation. Right now, we have two parties that are, well, most Democrats don't necessarily vote for the Democrat. They're voting against the Republicans, and Republicans are the same way. There are third party people all over the place whose voices don't get heard. And in all of this, it's created a government that doesn't really represent people. I think one of the things that we have to focus on, not only at the state level, but at the federal and the local level, is voting reform and electoral reform, so that we can create those conditions where we have real representation. You have libertarians that are able to run, and people that are actually able to vote for them, or Green Party candidates, or whoever you most identify with, so that you can stop voting against the party that you're afraid of and start voting for people who actually share your values.
You mentioned the oil and gas industry earlier, and this year the industry has taken quite a hit. It's a source of good jobs in the broader region, and I'm curious what your approach to oil and gas industry conservation and regulation, and also supporting an industry that provides, you know, so much stability when times are good, but a little bit of instability when the market takes a hit. What would your approach be on that industry for Texas?
So for the time being, we absolutely have to support the industries that create jobs. But you're right, you know, it does. The jobs are good when the times are good, but when the times aren't so good, the jobs really aren't good. I have friends who have worked on the oil field ever since they were 18, 19 years old, and you know, they're either having a really good year or a really bad year, depending on when I talk to them. we have to start investing in things that are more stable. You know, Texas especially has an incredible amount of not only solar but wind energy. We're one of the top wind energy producers in the country. I don't see those as diametrically opposed to each other. I think that we can do both, and we can start investing more in these newer energies that aren't finite and definitely aren't boom and bust, so that we can transition these jobs away from these older industries that are just getting more and more expensive and harder to keep here in America, and toward jobs that are more stable and aren't necessarily doing a large part of hurting the planet.
So we've talked about some of the things that you have concerns about. I'm wanting to hear from all of the candidates during this series of interviews. Where do you see hope when you look ahead to 2021, and specifically with what the state legislature could be doing?
Like I said, I have hope that we are going to have some changes in leadership going forward, because right now I think everybody is upset with what's going on with Ken Paxton, and the fact that we have a wholly corrupt attorney general that has been elected time and time and time again. I am hopeful in the fact that people are starting to look beyond party for their votes and really trying to figure out whether or not the people that are in power are representing them. I have hope that going forward, people are going to be paying a lot more attention to what me or Stan or whomever is holding office is actually doing, so that we can actually be held accountable to these people.
So you challenged Stan Lambert in 2018, and in that election, Beto O'Rourke came closer to winning a statewide seat than any Democrat has in quite a long time. And his candidacy helped Democrats pick up a couple of seats in the U.S. House, a couple of state Senate seats, and a dozen state House seats. But in Taylor County, he only got 25% of the vote, which is similar to the 23% you got that time. What do you think it will take for a Democrat to win in this district?
I think it's going to take a lot of work, which is what we've been doing. This area has been Republican for, I think, longer than Texas was a Democrat, quite frankly. We have to do the work of making people understand that, because Republicans have done a great job at playing Democrats as the bad guy. And we've never really had Democrats in this area who had a high enough profile to say, hey, wait a minute, that's not true. And this is actually what we do believe. It's going to take a lot of that, and it's going to take a lot of work, and it's going to take some time for that to happen.
And I'm sure the pandemic is not helpful for a campaign.
The way we run campaigns is we go door to door, and unfortunately we aren't able to do that right now. So we are trying to, as much as possible, reach people through radio, TV, and giving them a phone call and saying, hey, how you doing? If anybody would like to talk to me, if they have any questions about what I'm about, they can feel free to.
And to follow up on my previous question about winning in this district, what about party support, statewide or national party support in this area? Is it hard to get that kind of backing?
If I'm being candid, it is. They're more focused on the city right now. And I think one of the problems with Texas is it's a big state, and it is an expensive state to run campaigns in. And right now they're prioritizing where they think they can win, which they should. It's our job to show them that hey, there's a little green light over here, and or a little blue light over here in West Texas. Maybe you should take a look. And that's what we've continued to do over the past few years.
Well, Sam, thank you for your time.
Thank you, I appreciate it.
Sam Hatton is the Democrat who is taking on Republican incumbent Stan Lambert for the 71st district seat in the State House of Representatives, serving Taylor, Jones, and Nolan counties. Tune in tomorrow for our interview with Stan Lambert, who's running for a third term. I'm Heather Claiborne. This is KACU.